This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle, or a home invader looking for an open window, a jilted lover looking for revenge, or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Kim. Are we ready for day five?
We are ready for day five. And let me just say, Jen, you know, sometimes we talk about really heavy stuff. And after you spend like 6 hours researching this horrible, horrible, beyond disgusting stuff that, you know, happen with people of the worst kind, sometimes you stumble upon something and it is awful. I mean, it is horrible. But sometimes it just kind of makes you go, what the what? And that would be
this one. Ooh,
this,
good.
That would be this one. It's this is day number five. So we have five victims. And it's kind of like, I don't know, we're just gonna go and we're gonna talk about it. It's
five, it's, what the fuck? That
it really is kind of.
Okay.
I mean, whatever.
Cool.
You ready to go?
Let's hear it.
As I was looking at this and researching it, I thought, you know, how many times in our head as people have you thought about being someone else? Like you have a little daydream and you think about, I want to be a famous actress or I want to be an award-winning author or, you know, I'm going to be a huge sports star. I want to be a football legend or a baseball legend, you know?
So just be like yourself, but a bigger than,
yes,
just larger than like, life, or just being, I wish I was Jennifer Lopez
and
can
both.
Afford all that great plastic surgery.
Yeah, both. Both. Okay. I didn't say that. Jennifer said that. I did not say that. I think Jennifer Lopez looks great.
She does.
And
she does. She has a kick-ass plastic surgeon.
You know, she's never drank alcohol in her life. So I think that's part of it too. Like, plus,
I think
plus
it has a lot to do with the plastic surgery.
I do, but she's Latina, and I think she's got beautiful skin. She always has.
Oh, she's gorgeous. She is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, she is
and
gorgeous.
Her whole beauty is her, but right now she's being helped along by a kick-ass plastic surgeon. And
well, I get you, and somebody else, and her name, I can't say her name, but it rhymes with Pennifer Faniston.
Oh,
I mean, come on, she's older than us, and that girl looks stellar.
I know.
Versus, you know.
You know what? I go for it. If you can, it's going
to
make you happy, you do it.
I say that too, but, you know, like sometimes you have that, and then you have like other ones where, like, I was watching a show. Shocker, I know, Jen. But this person, and I'm not going to name names, they couldn't even close their eyes. And I just, the whole time, that's all I focused on because their eyes had been pulled up and over and out so much.
Yeah.
Like when they would blink, like their eyeball was, and I kept thinking, do you have dry eyes? Do you suffer from dry eyes? That's what I kept thinking. Cause I was like, you can't even shut your eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're going to do it, pay to have it done well.
A little bit here, a little bit there. That's the key.
And pay to have it done well. It's not anything that you want to skimp on. You go to the top.
It's not like buying a cheap scarf at the dollar store because it was cute, you know?
Exactly.
Right. So, Jen, let's get back to the story. This story, this horrible story, reads, I mean, honestly, this is a dramatic movie plot featuring Leonardo DiCaprio, as the handsome young doctor who worked hard in the healthcare field. He saved lives by day and discovered the cure for cancer at night.
Wow.
The only difference is, Jen, Jean-Claude Romand, right? Is that how you say
Jean-Claude
Romand?
Jean-Claude Romand.
Jean-Claude Romand is no Leo. And in fact, well, he's not a lot of things. And this is where it all begins to go downhill, if you will, okay?
and the La Chitter. That's my French.
That's pretty good, Jen.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. I'm going to go by first names, and we do have some French pronunciation. And for our friends in France, I am so sorry. I took Spanish, and I took German. I did not take French. And if you listened to our podcast at all earlier, you know that my daughter took French, and she loved it until the teacher got let go again, right? We always say that job's haunted because we cannot keep a French teacher to save our lives. Here we go. You ready?
Uh-huh.
So Jean-Claude Roman was born on February 11th, 1954 in, here's the French stuff, Clairvaux-les-Lacs, France. I'm butchering that language. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Well,
but I can't help you because I would just slaughter it too. So
yeah. Jean-Claude claimed that he had a happy childhood, and his exact quote was, "Je recule les maximes de marque le desperes province d'honneur." Okay. But that translates.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
I know, thanks. They always say it is the romantic language, right? That translates to, "I received the most love parents can give." Now, he was a quiet child who kept to himself, and he was a good pupil in school. He would occasionally lie to his parents, but this was to not worry them about things. His mother was said to be, and I love this when I saw this, quote, "fragile," which I guess is high maintenance, or, you know, the mom was fragile, meaning I'm guessing she took to her bed with her spells a lot, if you know what I'm saying. Like she was a little, you know what I'm saying, right? Here comes some more French, Jen. Now,
can't
Jean,
wait.
These poor people in France are going to be like, croissant? Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. French fries, French toast. That's all I know. Okay.
Perrier. He studied.
Yeah. Mm. Perrier. He studied at the Lycée of Lens-le-Saunier. To me, it sounds really good. Until his baccalaureate, which is like his diploma. In 1971, he registered for classes at the Lycée des Parcs in Lyon. But he dropped out after one semester, supposedly because of health problems, or he simply failed. That's kind of up in the air there. But as we progress the story along, you'll see why we don't quite know the story on that, if you know what I mean. You with me?
I am. I'm still trying to figure out your French.
My French. Is it French? That is a California reference with Juliette Lewis, Brad Pitt, David Duchovny, and I can't remember the girl's name in the movie, because Juliette Lewis plays this really dumb something, and somebody says something about Carmen. She goes, "Is that French?" Right? So every time anybody says something I don't understand, I say,
"Is that California with a K?" The movie California with a K?
Yes, the movie where they're serial killers-ish.
Yeah, or California with a K. Okay. Yeah.
Never to be deterred and wanting to achieve his dream of becoming a doctor, Jen, he enrolled as a medical student, all right? Okay, so he flunked out of that one, but, you know, he had dreams of becoming a medical student. No problem. He's going to do it. However, at the end of his first year of med school, Jean-Claude missed one of his final exams, okay? And because of that, of course, he failed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only problem with him failing out of med school, Jen, is that his family was so excited and they were so proud of him for not only chasing his dream, but succeeding in such a demanding field. Jean-Claude could not let them down. He just couldn't, right? So Jean-Claude needed a plan. And lucky for us, Jen, he had one. He had a plan. Now, after all, it was just one small fib, just one teeny little lie.
It always starts with just one. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I was just going to say, we all know what they say. Oh, what a tangled web we weave. When
first we practice to deceive.
Thank you. Look at it. It's almost like we're psychic.
It is. Psychotic, maybe.
Yeah, psycho.
Well, I'm psychic.
You are touched a little bit. We talked about that.
Severely touched.
Anyway. Fear not, Jen. Jean-Claude would be able to retake the class and exams, his finals. But, you know, why bother with all that when you can just fake it till you make it? You know? So he just kept He just kept attending classes. He would go and sit by his little med school friends. And he hoped that the stress of attending medical school and having that really hard regime of the classes and the test and all that, it would kind of maybe, shall we say, like confuse his classmates on if he would actually ever take the exam, because he could still go to medical school, right? And show up and walk in the building and sit in class. He just technically could never really take the exams because
or graduate.
Right? Like, so his name was never on the exam list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we haven't figured that out by now, Jean-Claude was not really, shall we say, cut out for medical school or school in general since he kept failing his classes. But hey, who doesn't want a doctor who barely passed medical school? You need a lung transplant, Jen? Hey, Google that shit. Thank God we got the internet now. They didn't have
exactly
that then, but, right?
Well, you know what they call the person who graduates last in their doctor?
Still a doctor. Still a doctor.
They call him doctor.
Amen. Now,
it's like plastic surgery. You don't go for the cheap shit. You got to go for the best ones, right?
Truth. Truth. During this time of him attending medical school, you know, again, because he went back, he meets this nice woman. And this woman, luckily, would later become his wife. And they got married. Now, you know, they got married pretty quickly because, well, Jen, he had cancer.
Oh.
Rather, he told her he had cancer.
I figured that. He's a dirty, nasty liar too, huh?
Thank you. I put that down a little bit lower. In 1980, he married this sweet lady, and the couple went on to have two children in the late 1980s. That's when this was occurring. So Jean-Claude, he thinks he's got it all figured out, and he goes to attend medical school for the first year, again and again and again. In fact, he keeps going to attend medical school that first year of medical school, mind you, for 12 years, and no one notices. No one notices that he kept repeating that first year of medical school until that dumb school decided to hire a new head of the medical department, and he figured it out. Now, all would have been okay, Jen, if not for that darn meddling department head of the medical school, right? So 12 years goes by. He has been lying to... You can't make this up. Just wait. It gets
12
worse.
Years.
I mean, 12 years of medical school. He got married in that time. He's having babies, okay? Like, so, but we're going to get to that in a second, like how he did all this.
You know what? I appreciate his stamina and his willing to try.
Right? But he could have been a doctor like twice over in those years. 12 years? Seriously?
Even I know when to give up.
Jean-Claude needed a new plan. And again, he had one. He needed a job, Jen, because he can't go back to school anymore. So he needed a job. But what, oh, what is he qualified to do? That's correct. Lie. So he did what he did best. He decided he would be a researcher for the World Health Organization in Geneva, specializing in cardiology.
For who?
The World Health Organization. You know,
who?
The who. Exactly, Jen. I didn't
That's
that
what
joke.
I was
I
trying to do.
It.
I was hoping it would be more like an Abbott and Costello type thing.
Yeah,
but
No.
You
got
me.
I got you. I know you. I know you and your
funnies. I know.
So he began his imaginary career as, and I love this because this goes back to like, what would you do if you could do it, right? He begins his imaginary career as a lecturer at the University of Dijon. And he did so well in that position, Jen, he was promoted to the head of a clinic in Geneva.
Now,
did you get that?
Like,
he promoted himself, right? It turns out he would go to the WHO, World Health Organizations. He would go to the WHO headquarters, and he'd go there as if he worked there. And while he was there, you know, he'd take, you can't make this up, he'd take anything and everything he could with the organization's name on it to decorate his home. So it looked like, well, you know, he was working there. So there were stationery, medical journals, official paperwork, pins, I mean, logos, pins like writing pins, all the stuff embossed. Anything that had that name on it, he stole from the building to bring home so that, you know, it looked like he worked there. So he would tell his wife that he was so busy at work, do not even try to call me. It's pointless.
Oh.
I am so swamped. I work all the time. And, you know, Jen, when he's not busy in the office, he was out on the golf course with world-renowned heart surgeons, dining with the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize for medicine. You know, he was just so busy, right?
He is an amazing, amazing man.
He's an amazing imaginary doctor research specialist. Oh, okay.
He's the kind that I would hope to be one day.
Right. I said, you need a lung transplant? No problem. Google that shit. So now I bet you're wondering, what is he doing during these business hours? Like, how does one fill up the time? And we're not talking like a week or two. We're talking years. What would he do? Well, he was very familiar with the local parks. He would often go take walks. He would read books in his car. He would just kind of hang out because he had to leave and go. And since this was such a high profile job, it wasn't like a 9-to-5 job, right? He was doing a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm surprised he wasn't in the CIA.
Well,
I don't think
funny
they have
you
the
should
CIA
say
in
that.
France.
No, they have. His wife would talk to friends and say, you know, it's almost like he's a spy for the government.
Oh.
Like she would make a joke that was so over the top to their friends and family. But like, little did she know, poor thing. And like, again, I just have to say, this is not funny, but it's funny in the sense of what he did. The murders that he commits are not funny. Okay.
No.
Just gonna put that out there right now.
No, it's
never,
never
funny.
Funny.
But the fact that somebody exists like this in the world is funny. That he does all this is what I'm
right.
saying. With his family and friends all so proud of him. I mean, look what he's doing. He graduated with that medical degree because, you know, he didn't tell them that he got kicked out, right? So he pretended that he got that degree. He even sent photos of his really cool office at the WHO headquarters to his parents, right? His family, his friends. He sent pictures of him. Well, not him exactly. It was more his office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those pictures were actually taken outside the office through a window. But nobody caught on to that. They were just proud that little Jean-Claude had an awesome job, right? I mean, look at him.
He's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He's got everything he'd ever dreamed up.
Yeah, dreamed up, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Good one, Jen. Since he had such a high profile, such a prestigious position, you know, it was required that he go on frequent business trips for his job. Career, really, if you will. And he would actually go on these trips. And I told Kevin Heron this and he laughed because I was like, this guy, I can't make this up, right? He would stay in a hotel near the airport and then go through the airport gift shops and buy gifts to bring back to his family because he was on business trips.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy.
Not once did his wife actually try calling the WHO headquarters. You know, he claimed that he knew all these really well-respected doctors, and he frequently went out to lunch or played golf with them, as I had mentioned before. He never brought them home, of course, because he said he preferred to keep his private life private and his professional life separate. When
but
questioned
about his private life?
Well, here we go. Shut up. I hate you. When questioned about his job, he would always, you know, feign modesty. Right. His wife joked, mm-hmm. as I said earlier, that one day she was scared she was going to find out he was a communist spy. And that
Not a communist.
So one of the problems, Jen, about having a fake job is, of course, you don't
fake
get
insurance.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You fake money. You get
paychecks.
fake
mm-hmm.
payments, fake paycheck. Now, for a while, he was able to shuffle things around and everything was okay with money. But, you know, that doesn't last long. Because it can't, because it's fake. So Jean-Claude needed yet another plan. And guess what? He had one. He came up with one.
Good.
You know, since he's so well connected at the WHO headquarters, and he is hobnobbing with all the elite, he was actually able to meet these very great bankers, investment people. So he would meet these people, and then he would have to share that information with his friends and family. He was able to invest his money, and it was a great deal of money, and it had a great percent back, Jen. He told his family that he was able to invest money with these people that he met in his high-profile job, and he would get a return rate of 18%. Now, invest this money, easy peasy, invest the money, you're going to get 18% back, no question, right?
Wow.
No, you don't have to do anything. You just give me the money. And you're going to earn 18% back as long as you keep it in there, right? Keep it in there.
Keep
so world,
in there.
Word got around soon about how good Jean-Claude was with money. And soon, family and friends trusted him to handle their money. All their money. His parents, his uncle, his in-laws, and yes, even a mistress Mistress, yeah, that's right, he took one. Not only did he take a mistress, but he's about to take her money too, but we'll get to that. You know, Jean-Claude had grown accustomed to a very nice lifestyle. He had a big house, nice car, private school for his kids. He had made it. He was living the life and the dream that we all would love to live. But there was only one problem. None of it was real. None of it.
None.
Bernie Madoff. That's all I got to say about that. So it was about this time Jean-Claude had taken his in-laws' money, all their money, in fact, all of their life savings, and he went through it. He took it, claiming to invest it with that giant percent of 18% back, no questions asked. He ran through it. He ran through it. So he needed more money. Now, Jen, with his vast medical knowledge, he decided to discover the cure for cancer. Yes, that is right. He discovered the cure for cancer, but rather than share it with the world and help quadrillions of people, he's just going to sell his discovery to who? His uncle for a lot of money. For a lot of money in exchange for
keeping
a lot of money.
The family. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Wow. And they believe that, huh?
That's what I'm saying. This story
is
that
Uncle Bob, I just cured cancer. You want to buy it? Yeah, no.
Right?
Ridiculous.
So he bought that. Now, as you know, dreams can't last forever, especially if you're a dirty, rotten liar who lies all the time from their lying lie hole, right? I wrote that in there because it's like true, and you called him that earlier. 1988, his great creation starts to crack. His father-in-law wanted to withdraw some of the money that he invested earlier. He needed it, right? He needed it back for some other things. And he asked Jean-Claude to get it and get it out, give it to him. He needed that money back. Jean-Claude agreed. But you know what was so strange?
The cure from cancer didn't work?
Well, that's to his uncle. This is his father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah,
sorry.
I know. I got you. It was just a couple weeks later, after that father-in-law had asked about getting that money back, that father-in-law fell to his death in a freak accident. Shocking. Everyone was so shocked and upset about it. But thank goodness, Jean-Claude was there to witness it. In fact, he was the only witness to the freak accident, so he could provide details to the authorities. You know, stating it was an accident and all. Now, with his mother-in-law, now husbandless and on her own, she decides to downsize to a smaller flat, which meant, you know, she had a bunch of leftover money from the house they sold. But thank gosh, thank goodness,
she knows
somebody who can invest that money and handle it for her, all while trusting this person to do so.
Unreal.
Now, Jean-Claude was now in the clear for the next 4 years. 4 years, he's good. He's got money. He's worked out. He's shuffled things around. Everything's great. Until his mistress decides that, guess what? She needs some money, too.
How does
she have
some of that time? With all this,
thank you.
I mean, he's curing cancer.
I would be so stressful. This is 18 years of these shenanigans. Can you imagine?
No.
18 years of being a dirty, filthy liar all the time.
Could you imagine?
That is so much work. Just go get a job at McDonald's, for God's sake.
His
right?
blood pressure has to be through the roof. I mean, constant worry. Constant. Of being found out, of financial
right?
problems. It's not worth it.
No, it's what I said. Go get a job at McDonald's. Lead a happy life. Go work at McDonald's, minimum wage. Be just fine. Back to the story. So Jean-Claude's now great. He's good for 4 years until his mistress decides she needs some of that money back that she'd invested. Now, she'd invested, and this was kind of like, this was the first time in the story that I could find money, like actual hard money. And I was like, holy Shasta balls. Like, dang. So she had invested a total of 9,000 francs. Or francs. Now, you know that my French isn't so good, so I had to go look all that up and see what that equaled. 900,000 francs equals $909,000.
Math is hard.
Is that right? It is hard. 909,000.
$900,000. $909,000.
Whatever. Yeah. It was $900,000.
It was a lot of money.
That's a lot of money to invest with somebody that's going to go squander it and do whatever he wants to do as he's being a pretend doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Well, guess what? Jean-Claude does not have that money because he squandered it a long time ago. So at this point, he starts to see that he's put it himself in the corner. He's not going to be able to get out of this. So he begins to think that maybe suicide is the only answer.
Oh, yeah?
But as you can probably suspect at this point, Jean-Claude did not like that answer. So what he needed was another plan. And guess what? He came up with one, and it's an awful plan. And that's where we get into the
plan K for kill.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. The awfulness of this. On January 9th, 1993, Jean-Claude went to the bank and he withdrew 2,000 francs. Francs. He then went out and bought several gas canisters and a handgun with a silencer. Now, maybe it's just me, but if anybody ever goes and buys a gun with a silencer, I think that's a red flag. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the gun laws here in Missouri. Whatever. I'm just saying. But for reasons only known to Jean-Claude, he also asked that all of those things be gift-wrapped. It's January, if you notice that I said that at the top of the paragraph. It's January 9th. So a birthday present, I don't know. But if you're giving somebody a birthday present with gas canisters and a handgun with a silencer, we got some stuff we need to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
There's a problem. Yeah.
So that night, Jean-Claude puts his plan into action. After going to bed that night, and this is the terrible part, and I'm making fun of him because he's an idiot. I'm just going to get that out right there. I'm not making fun of the murders because he's a dirty, rotten, filthy scoundrel, lying liar pants with pants on fire, right? He's terrible. But I'm just making fun of him because he's an idiot. That night, he puts his plan into action. I don't want anybody to be mad at me. After going to bed, he waits for his wife to fall asleep next to him. He then bashes his wife to death with a rolling pin.
Oh.
With a rolling pin.
Horrible.
As she's lying in bed next to him dead, he goes back to sleep. He's just going to let her body stay there till the next morning. What? Yeah, you read that. When morning comes, he wakes up his kids, his children. He gives them breakfast, which I think are Cocoa Puffs. And depending on what you read, I've read a couple different things here. But he lets them watch cartoons after eating some Cocoa Puffs for breakfast. I guess they're Les Cocoa Puffs over there. But I just made that up right now. Did you think that was funny? No? Not so much? Okay. So the day goes on as normal. And then that night he puts them to bed. And after they go to sleep in their rooms, he goes in and shoots them both in the head. Terrible. What's he do? He goes back to bed and sleeps. You know, he's obviously this isn't bothered by him because he's getting his sleep still with no job. Just saying, right?
Yeah.
So after taking care of his immediate family, his wife and his two kids, he realized that there's still a few people that could expose him and his lies. His parents were so proud of Jean-Claude and everything that he had accomplished in his life, but he couldn't allow them to realize that all he accomplished was fake, was imaginary. And, oh yeah, there's that mistress, you know, that wanted her money back, right? So he had a couple things he had to deal with. When Jean-Claude wakes up that morning, he goes to his parents' house. They ask him to stay for dinner, and he says sure, so he stays over for dinner. After the meal, he ended up shooting both of his parents, as well as the family dog. Are you kidding me? Thank you. The dog? Really? Really? So he leaves his parents' house with the dog and his parents dead. Okay, he shoots them. This is all better than just admitting I'm a big two-faced fat liar.
Yeah.
Like, really?
God.
Now, here's where you see, like, this is, again, you can't make this stuff up. I'm like, are you kidding me? When Jean-Claude gets home, he calls his mistress. And he tells her that, I'm going to come get you, honey bunny. I'm going to come get you. We're going to have a romantic evening on the town. So she's all excited.
Mm-hmm.
Minus that, you know, $900,000 he owes her back. He goes and he picks her up. And wouldn't you know it, that car that they're in, it mysteriously breaks down.
Gosh dang it.
Yeah, it does. So let's go ahead and exit the car, hon. We need to get out of the car. We don't want it to get hit by anything. And as she's getting out of the car, he comes up around her, the back of her, and he wraps a cord around her neck, and he starts to strangle her. Now, little Jean-Claude, as you can see, because he is a walking conundrum and an epiphany of a whatever that saying is, right?
And an asshole.
She's a little bit stronger than he thought. She's fighting, and she's fighting for her life, obviously. So he sprays tear gas in her face. Mm. Now, you big dumb idiot, that only pisses her off more, and she fights harder, right? It's about at this point he decides he can't take her. He's not going to be able to win. So he backs off, and he says...
Are you there?
Yes, I'm laughing. Okay. I don't even know what to say. So after he figures out he can't take her, he backs off and he apologized for the "I almost killed you, but didn't, and you're still alive" plan.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And that's the one where he says, "You know what? I'm so sorry. Let's get back in the car. We're going to pretend this never happened, and I'm really sorry. Don't tell anybody. Everything will be great. And, yeah, I guess we won't go on another date after this."
She didn't get in the car, did she?
Yes, she did.
And everything and was like, fine. And
he never killed her. If you're counting the dates, we're on day 5, and he only killed 5 people.
Oh,
she would be number 6. That's what I'm saying. You cannot make this up. So Jean-Claude then returns to his house, which still contains the body of his dead wife and his children. But, you know, he sits down. He's going to watch a little TV. He's got to relax. That mistress trying to kill the mistress, but she didn't. So I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry I strangled you. I'm really sorry I tear gassed you. I'm really sorry I almost killed you. I'm going to...
Please
everything's
forgive
great.
Me.
Just get back.
Yeah.
Nice. Just get back in the car. Don't tell anybody. So he decides he needs what? That's right. Another plan.
He's
so now
doing fantastic.
Right. He decides again. Okay. I've killed my parents. Killed my wife. Killed my beloved kids, and I killed the family dog. All right. So he's a mess.
He couldn't, all over him.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. He's single, ladies. He couldn't kill the mistress. So he was kind of like, okay, now what? It's come to an end. I'm going to be found out. So he decides he needs to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to kill himself with long expired medicine instead of the much stronger stuff he had in the medicine cabinet that would have done the job right away.
Well, he should know this because he, you know, all of his doctor training, he should know how
his doctor training gets better, Jen. So he then pours gasoline all around the house and he sets it ablaze. But he sets it ablaze at about the same time that the road cleaners would pass by the house. And yep, it's a little after 4 a.m. and those road cleaners notice that the house is on fire, called the fire department, who arrived and rescued Jean-Claude.
Of course.
A miracle, I tell you. It's a Christmas miracle.
Unfortunately, yeah. The one time.
Police try to question him, and at first he wouldn't talk to the police. And they believed it was because he was in such shock with, you know, his family being dead from the fire. And he's the only one that made it out, right?
Like, yeah.
They didn't. It's terrible. His wife was killed in the fire and his 2 kids. But then they find his family in the house. And, they had 2 bullet wounds to the head of the babies, and she was beat to death. So they didn't really die by the fire. So then they're like, zoinks! There's
what
a problem,
happened?
Right?
Yeah.
Jean-Claude's trial began on June 25th, 1996. And on June 6th, 1996, so that's not 2 weeks, something like that, he is sentenced to life in prison. He would be eligible for parole in 2015. Now, psychiatrists that had taken the stand had said that he had suffered from narcissistic personality disorder.
You think?
I knew you'd say that. I knew you would say that.
I mean, I didn't spend 12 years in going to medical school, you know, but I would.
First year.
Yeah.
Don't forget, first year.
Okay.
Jean-Claude is quoted as saying after all of this that, quote, he finally is relieved of the burden of the 20 years of lies. And he's never felt so free, period. And that's in prison.
Nice. Well, you know, he could have stopped that like 19 and a half years ago.
We're not done, Jen. Jean-Claude was released from prison in April of this year, 2019. Now, don't come at me, Jean-Claude. Do not come at me. Whatever. Go live your happy life. He's living his life. He's living his best life over there in France, I guess. Yep. Can't make that up. Now,
wow.
how can you get out with 5 people? He brutally killed 5 people.
Because they have different laws than we do.
They do have different laws. I love you, France. And I'm sorry I butchered your native language.
I barely have a grasp of the laws here in the U.S. And I just can't comprehend what other countries, why their sentences aren't as strong as ours.
It's like, if he killed one, not that one life is any, but 5... Like, and he deliberately set these lies up. Like, he did all this on purpose. Like, you would think that that'd be worth more than that.
He killed them for money. He purposefully killed them for money, and that's cold-blooded.
Well, he took their money. He took their money, and then he killed them because he was going to be found out. And rather than living with the disappointment that they would realize, because they thought he walked on water, for goodness sakes, your husband is working for the World Health Organization for 6 years. And yeah, exactly. And you all day long never call me at work. I'm too busy. And all those years, she never called him. She never needed him. Never called him. Never, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on now. Come on.
No. No. Just,
he did all that and made those lies. And he's a dirty, filthy liar.
He is a dirty, nasty, filthy liar. If any of our buddies overseas could send us an email at ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com and let us know why these murderers get off with such limited sentences, that would be awesome. We would love to understand it a little bit better.
Maybe we just fry him too much over here, but I'm not saying he should have fried, but he, I don't think he should be walking around when everybody's dead.
I mean,
like, how do you even live with yourself when you kill that many people?
Your kids.
When you kill anybody, for that matter.
Your wife and your kids. The people that you should love the most, or at least your kids you should love the most, you would think. Yeah. I don't know. Unreal.
And then he lets the mistress go.
Yeah.
Okay, honey, I'm so sorry. I tried to strangle you.
Couldn't...
Oh, and I tear gassed you, but let's just not. Yeah, she put up too much of a fight. He couldn't take her.
Jesus.
What? See, it's not funny, but I was like reading this and I was like, this is a bad movie. This is a movie with Leo DiCaprio. And then I was like, yeah, it was Catch Me If You Can, where he played the pilot and stuff like that until people catch on. That's exactly what this guy did. Same thing. Really?
Unreal.
Not kidding.
Unreal.
All right, that's all I got for day five. Day five.
Very interesting. I enjoyed that.
It's a hot mess.
Hot mess.
It is a hot mess.
I mean,
are you kidding me?
It'd kind of be like if you and I were going to do a murder a little bit. Kind of like a...
But I was just thinking, my God, just fess up to your lie because it's just better. But he just kept going. And I mean, 12 years of medical school, then he gets this fake job for another six. Like, come on.
I know.
You can't even.
I know.
And
wouldn't you be embarrassed after a while? I mean, seriously.
Well, shuffling money. He took the mistress because he needed money. I don't know if I made that clear, but he was like, ah, crap. I need more money. I've already sucked my in-laws dry, my parents dry. My uncle, I sold him this cure to cancer, okay? The pretend fake cure to cancer.
Right.
I need more money. So then he's like, I need a mistress. So he took one that I guess had a little money. I mean, $900,000 to invest is pretty good. I mean, that's a lot of money. So can't make it up. Not kidding.
John Clyde. All right,
that's it. That's all I got for you, Jen.
All right. That was quite entertaining. Yeah,
it's something.
He worked out all those plans. He already had plan Z down. Seriously.
He did. He had it done. And I'm just like, I mean, you can't. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. Whatever. All right, Jen. Tomorrow, hit us up. Day six. It's on you. Baby go.
And it's brutal. Brutal.
Oh, God. See, this one was brutal, too. But the guy was such an idiot. I couldn't help it. Like, I can't. I just can't. That's why I felt guilty about laughing. But it's. And this guy's still living his best life, so I think I can make fun of him.
Yeah.
You big dummy. You big liar, liar. Don't come after me, Jean-Claude. All right.
All right.
That's it. Remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya.
Today's episode was researched and written by me, Cam. For more information about this episode, as well as all the sources I used, please check out our show notes or the podcast website at ourtruecrimepodcast.com. Our True Crime Podcast is developed and created by hosts Jen and Cam. Original music and audio mix of all Our True Crime Podcast episodes is courtesy of Nico Vertese from We Talk of Dreams. Listener discretion is provided by Edward October from October Pod VHS. Our True Crime Podcast is executive produced by Nico Vertese and Dick Bain. Make sure to like and subscribe to Our True Crime Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We can be reached on Instagram and Facebook at Our True Crime Podcast or on Twitter at Our True Crime Pod. You can email us at ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. If you really like the show, make sure to check out our Patreon at Our True Crime Podcast. Our True Crime Podcast is an OTC production.